Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment. As well.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. And Alex, very bittersweet week. But you lost again, so what's new?
Yeah. That's
nothing's new about that. Alex loses. Seahawks. Angelo in the bets.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, Seahawks lost. I am currently down two games to you, but we're both on track to have positive weeks. So I am 8-7, you are 10-5 right now. But as we know, I tend to only lose by a game. So we know how Monday night's football is going to go. So if not mistaken, I am on the Steelers and you're probably on the Giants.
You're wrong. We're both on the Steelers.
Oh, we're both on the Steelers. Okay, so I'm gonna lose to you by two games
wow.
This week. Jesus, yeah. that's an improvement for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we're both going to have weeks around 500, which is an improvement over past around few weeks.
I'm about to be over. I'm well over 500.
You are 500. You are above 500. Worst case scenario.
Oh, you mean overall?
For me.
Overall. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm saying both of us. Because
If
I lose, if we both lose, I guess, Monday Night Football, I'm going to be 500. So that's the bare minimum that we're going to do. And best case scenario, I'm 9-7 and you are 11-5. So good week in general for us. But I do drop another game or two to you this week. Not the best. But yeah. It's now week 9. We're going into week 9 right now. Time is flying by. We're over the midway point of the season, or right at the midway point of the season. How are you feeling about the NFL this week? Or this year in general?
Actually, I think it's been a pretty good year for the NFL. I don't think, quite honestly, other than a few players, we have, for the most part, kept the star players on the field. So can't be bad.
There seems to be a lot of injuries. Now, for example, this week, I believe Deebo Samuel got dinged a bit with a shoulder thing that kept him out of the game for a bit. Stephon Diggs had a non-contact injury, if not mistaken. And he did go to the locker room under his own power. So I'm not sure if he's okay or if he's not okay. We're probably going to have to wait and see on that one. But non-contact is usually not a great thing. It tends to go sideways on those quite a bit, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, like the big star players like Chase Jefferson. Now, for example, guys like Cooper Kupp, they've been dinged a bit and whatnot.
And
so it's not Puka Nacua.
But I mean, they're
well,
back.
For example.
But they're back. They're not suffering season-ending injuries. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like they got injured, even though they did get injured. In a way,
that is true. That is true. They've only missed a tiny bit of time, not like entire seasons. Like we've had, for example, like Jefferson didn't miss the entire
season
last year. Jefferson
missed the whole last year. Yeah, basically missed the whole year.
But he didn't miss a whole lot of games. He missed like around 10, if not mistaken. So that feels like quite a lot. But yeah, solid season overall. In terms of the running backs as well, most have been healthy outside of the CMC thing. Mixon was dinged up a bit, but most guys have been healthy-ish. The big name guys. So yeah, the Broncos have been okay. We've had some good matchups. Especially Thursday Night Football has been decent good. This week we had probably the best, if not one of the best, if not the best Thursday Night Football game of the season with the Rams and the Vikings. We've had some stinkers, sure, for example, the Denver Broncos, New Orleans Saints on week 7. But on week 9, we had the Seahawks with the Niners.
The Denver Broncos. Come on now, man.
Yeah.
So I will say, Bo Nix has been improving every week. And that's very, very good to see. It's like, which is crazy to think about because, if I'm not mistaken, isn't he like a 24-year-old rookie?
He is. He is very old, yeah.
So I guess it's just weird that you would think at 24, you spent more time in college and you would have a more polished, like, mechanical base down, and it doesn't seem like he does, but he still performs. He's still a very good rushing quarterback. He still can make throws, which is crazy to think. And apparently Sean Payton having faith in you just makes the world a difference. So,
and he is running Sean Payton's system. So it's good when you get in the good graces of your coach. That's basically what is happening there with Bo Nix. But he's playing well enough at this level. Like, we knew that although he was quite old, the system that he played in Oregon, if not mistaken, right? But that system is usually not the best for guys to develop their skill sets and whatnot for the NFL. So it takes a bit to adjust, but he's playing good. Well enough now. This week he had a bad matchup in terms of, like, the defense was bad that he was going against. The Carolina Panthers defense. So had a bit of help there, but overall it's playing well and I'm liking what I'm seeing on the field. So yeah, it feels good. It feels very much like that Jets team from last year, except they have a better QB. So the defense is playing very well, and they have a decent enough offensive system that they can run the ball quite a bit with some sort of success. Bo Nix can take off. Bo Nix is making plays for the air as well when needed. So I had to start him this week in fantasy, and I was fairly surprised. That was a good thing because I had Jaden Daniels. And I did not know if he was going to start or not. That league has, like, waivers, so never free agency. It's always waivers. So I had to make a decision going into Sunday. So I grabbed Bo Nix off of waivers. I had to drop Ray Davis that I had taken a flyer on. But yeah, panned out at the end, won that week. So
it's just been an overall pretty good season, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, we're going to talk about a lot of the games because we're going back to back today. We're recording this one for Alex the predictions. Yeah, I'll be out of not even the town. I'll be out of the country. I'm going on a little vacation, flying somewhere. Nice, still in Europe though. But flying somewhere nice. And yeah, we're going back to back on this one. We're recording the predictions right now. And the next show we'll talk about a bit about the games and whatnot. But both will be recorded on a Monday. So if any news comes out and whatnot, hey, we will not be able to discuss it. So hopefully it's a quiet week.
I mean, yeah.
So
How do I go about playing this? Why do you think that you lose every week? Because I think you've low-key gone crazy trying to catch up to me. I'm pretty sure you researched, like, betting trends and advanced analytics and things you don't normally do because you're more of a, like, the tape guy. You're more of the, I watch the game, so I can dictate my opinion on dictating how flow works is better than everything else. But I've seen you turn to analytics. I've seen you turn to experts. So what has happened this year for you?
Like, I get if you look at the games, though, like I think I've had some bad breaks on some of these. For example, I think the most obvious one was the Chicago game, which I did get a break in terms of like Chicago going ahead because they had no business being ahead in that game. They didn't play as good as Washington did, but they did get ahead. They had 15-12, so that covered the spread. If that flips, we're tied basically this week. It's all tied, and the last game we have the same pick, so we would have been tied regardless. And then Jaden Daniels gets like a 70-yard Hail Mary touchdown that gives the Washington Commanders the win. So I feel some of it is bad breaks. Some of it is just bad reads on the game. This is betting. It happens. We're still betting, like, if not mistaken, with the current record, I'm betting like at 45%, and that's like, I believe 48 is the number that most like experts get to on a decent year. So it's like, it just feels like we're splitting hairs here. And like, we haven't really had 1 week in which one of us has gone off and the other one has been terrible. So I feel like we're at least improving from last year, because I believe my percentage has improved somewhat from last year and yours is about the same or getting there. So I feel like we both have had decent weeks where I'm just
trying to catch up. Time out, Alex. Are you then indirectly saying, since you just said that, that your performance is about where the experts are? Are you saying I have been more accurate than the experts over the last season and a half?
Than some experts, yeah, for sure. I follow some guys that are usually below the 50%, and it's still okay because it's like, for example, here on the bets, it's something that I usually don't tend to bet to. I've said this before, but like, for example, if not mistaken, this week, if I open up my book here, which is an illegal book in Portugal, since we do not have the lines for like the props and whatnot, that is usually not available in the quote unquote legal books that we have here.
Don't worry, the audience won't rat you out. They won't.
Me out.
Yeah, promise.
But like on this week,
a bunch of people. Promise.
I'll just look at the bets that I've won. I think I've made around. Yeah, I started with around 250. On this week's of betting in the NFL, and I think I'm currently on 380 because I do not bet on like lines on sites. It's just not my market. So that's maybe something that propels me not to do as great here if I invested a bit more time in betting on sides and whatnot. I just feel like sides are usually a thing like that is decided on the less cool. Maybe next year. Yeah, we discussed that in the last episode that we maybe should be doing that. But I feel like it's just such a weird thing, the Lions, because in the NFL, it always feels like the last quarter is the only quarter that actually matters. So you're stuck there, and it's like a team could be winning. For example, the Packers, they had a touchdown lead for most of that game. Then in the last minutes, the Jaguars tie the game or even get ahead, and the Packers end up just winning by three. So it's just like they had a 4.5 line. You're screwed there as well. Just feel like some of these numbers are really, really sharp, and it's like if something goes slightly against you, it just goes kaput in a bit. Like you noticed this week, like you were mentioning that you were ahead by quite a bit, and you were. I believe at one point the score was like you had 7 wins and I had 3 or something like that, or you had 8 wins and I had 3, and eventually it just balanced out because the last quarter is just what decides everything, basically. I feel like that really plays a part here. It's the variation of things. Plus, some of it is also like the lines. We predict this game so early that sometimes we do not have the entirety of the information. I remember last week, for example, I was on the Bucks before I realized the Bucks had no wide receivers. So, and I had that information, and we talked about it in the other show. I probably would have picked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I probably would have picked the Atlanta Falcons. So, it is what it is. I feel like as the season progresses, we're going to be very close.
We'll see. I don't think so. I think I'm going to destroy you like I always do in these. Gotta destroy you in something.
It's not in fantasy football, that's for sure.
I might get my first win this year. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the week 17. I'm telling you, like, I don't think my team should be favored. I'm just saying, like I said, you get a bomb week from like Rashad Bateman or DeMario Douglas, and they can do that. And then you're staring down like Jalen Hurts, Justin Jefferson, Chris Olave. Kyle Pitts has been a top 10 tight end. That's a scary thought, man. Like I said, I'm not saying I should be favored. I'm just saying I think I can beat just about anyone in a good week.
If not mistaken, I think I currently have 3 top 12 tight ends, which is just, none of them have been particularly amazing, but that's just the landscape of the tight ends. But I believe Tucker Kraft, Zach Ertz, and Mark Andrews have all been top 12 tight ends on this season. So I believe Andrews is the lowest at 11. But yeah, it's definitely, Pitt's definitely ascending quite a bit. It just feels like every single week the other shoe could be dropping.
So
we'll see. That we'll face on what? It's week 14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So week 13. It's week 13. Hey, week 13, I actually have some buys as well, if not mistaken. Or is it week 14? Yeah, it's probably week 14. Week 14 is when I have most of the buys. So I'm facing you in almost full strength. I don't know who you will have on a buy, if anyone.
No one.
But
I have no one on
a buy. No one? Okay. So we'll both be at mostly full strength, barring any sort of injuries. That could be a fan matchup. And you maybe will have CMC there.
Yeah. Who would the 49? The 49ers would be playing Buffalo.
That is not a good matchup, I'll tell you that. Because I have Kenneth Walker versus them, and that did not go as planned.
We'll see.
Okay.
Really good matchups here. All right, anyway, go on. Sorry.
I guess it's time for us to jump on the bets. Your favorite part of any show that we do, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's the thing I win at. Duh. I'm new.
Okay. So again, these lines will probably change a bit. I believe tomorrow it should change a bit, but after that it probably closes. Last week, the only line that really changed in any sort of meaningful way was the Atlanta Falcons line, and it was because of the injuries to the wide receivers of the Bucks. That line went from like the Buccaneers minus like, what, 2.5 to plus 2.5, so that changed quite a bit. But that was mostly it. The other ones were all fairly small things, so didn't really screw us any points there. So okay, so this week, guess we will start again Thursday Night Football. I am now what, 0-8 on Thursday Night Football this year, that is. So this is quite an interesting one. The 6-2 Houston Texans go to the 2-6 New York Giants. Fun fact, since firing Robert Saleh, the Jets have gone 0-3. They were favored in 2 of those games, and the defense has taken a massive step back. So I do not believe that firing Robert Saleh was a smart call now. I'll say that much. I don't know who made that call, but I can tell you right now, that call didn't really change anything for the Jets, it seems. If anything, it made them worse. So that said, though, that New England Patriots game was quite weird because it just felt like Rodgers didn't really play all that bad. It was just the defense. The defense really couldn't stop anything Jacoby Brissett. Like, if you allow Jacoby Brissett to go 70-plus yards on you in the last drive of the game, I don't know if we can consider you a good defense anymore. And so, playing 1.5 here as well, but I just cannot trust this Houston Texans team. Plus, against the spread, they are so bad against the spread. And it's like, this was another game versus the Colts in which they did not cover the spread
again. So it's like, can I really trust the Houston Texans to be my first win in Thursday Night Football? Guess I'm going to have to trust them. Give me the Houston Texans plus 1.5.
Oh, man. You freaking put the curse on my son? Yeah, dang.
One of your sons.
No, I don't know what to do.
You really thought I was going with the Jets, right? Then this was going to be an easy layup.
Yeah, and then I could just go Houston and just prosper. God, the thing is, I think you're right. Because I do think Vegas made this as a layup so that the Houston could get on the board. Man.
But the thing is, Vegas never sets a line that will have people hammering one side or the other. So are you really telling me that, like, this is the correct line? Like, because I really can see people hammering the Jets minus 1.5. But, like, if that happens, how is Vegas so obtuse to this? Like, Vegas knows best. Like, they know what they're doing. They've been in this for quite a while now, so this is such a weird line. Like, I do not understand it. And when I do not understand it, I tend to go with, like, the favorite. Here I'm going with the underdog, so
I gotta trust the process and go with the Jets.
Oh, yikes.
I know. I'm really testing the limits of this.
Of this theory that you've tried.
Yeah. Because I do think Houston's going to win this game, and 1.5 points is going to be. But who knows? Maybe you can curse the Texans too. Maybe it's possible. Because I do think the reason that the Jets are even favored in this game is because Houston hasn't hit any of the lines, and they want to incentivize people to bet Houston.
So, like, do we think Houston, by the time the game comes, Houston will be favored?
Yes.
Okay, so, like, taking the plus 1.5 is probably the way to go here. If that's what we think, then Houston getting points is probably the way to go, because by the time this closes, you're getting, like, what, 3-4 points more than what you're betting right now. So,
yeah, damn. All right. Dallas Cowboys at Atlanta Falcons. This is basically a pick 'em. The Falcons are favored by 1.5 points. I'm not overthinking this. It's the Falcons here.
Really feels that easy, right? Because you look at the Falcons, it's like, they have been okay to good. They've been in the games that they need to be in. Like, outside of the one loss to Seattle, which was a very ugly loss, it just feels like they have been playing well enough. Kirk Cousins looks to be better off of his Achilles injury. The Dallas Cowboys, you watched them last night playing the 49ers, and it's like, for what? They played okay in the first half. The defense played okay. Third quarter, the Niners came out, really laid the hood on them. Then when the game was basically done, CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott turned into Joe Montana and Jerry Rice for like 3 drives in which they got the touchdowns, or 2 drives in which they got the touchdowns. And then after that, when the game mattered again and they were down 6 points, if not mistaken, and they needed to get a touchdown, it turned back to Dak, not Joe Montana whatsoever. So it's like, it just feels like a team that only plays okay in garbage time, really. So yeah, give me Atlanta minus 1.5. I still don't think they can get any sort of pressure on the opposing QB, but at this point, I feel like this Dallas Cowboys team is just, it's whatever, really.
You're next.
Okay. The Denver Broncos at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are 8.5-point favorites after losing to the Cleveland Browns in maybe one of the biggest upsets of this year, according to the lines and whatnot. The Denver Broncos have been playing well enough that I don't think they should be this crazy high of a number for them to cover. Like, 8.5 feels like a lot. Maybe if you go below a touchdown, I'm leaning to Ravens, but at 8.5, that feels very steep, let me tell you that. But this could be a bounce back spot for the Ravens, in which maybe that was just like a divisional game. Teams played different in division and whatnot. So it could have just been like a fluke game for the Ravens. And this week we're back to the Ravens that we know and love. But I don't know. I feel like this Denver Broncos team keeps getting sort of like disrespected when it comes to the Lions. So I'm kind of going with Denver Broncos plus 8.5.
So, I think you're right. I don't think the Ravens are coming out and absolutely demolishing the Broncos. I think the Broncos' defense, quite honestly, is too good to give another team 8.5 points, to give them 8.5 points. Like,
plus, you also have to factor in that the Baltimore Ravens' defense, they have been quite bad. Again, I've mentioned this stat last week. Explosive plays. They lead the league in explosive plays allowed. So they are very stout against the run. But when it comes to explosive passing plays, they really tend to allow a lot of those. And how did they lose the game this week? Explosive play to Cedric Tillman. Jameis Winston to Cedric Tillman went over 40 yards, if not mistaken, for the touchdown. They left Cedric Tillman open. He made the play, got the touchdown. That's what screwed them in the end. At 8.5 points, it just feels like you have a lot of chances to backdoor cover this. Even if the Broncos lose, like an explosive play touchdown really flips the game. And like at 8.5 points, that just feels like way too many points when that can happen at any given moment.
Yeah, very true. So Buffalo is home against Miami.
So just so we know, you bet the Broncos with me.
Yeah, I bet the Broncos. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So Miami at Buffalo. Buffalo is favored by 6.5 points. I think that's an interesting line. Is Tua hurt?
No, Tua is healthy.
That's what I thought too. Give me Miami. It's that simple.
So going to Buffalo, it's always a tricky one because of the weather and whatnot. It does not feel like it's going to be super bad weather-wise. I believe it could be raining a bit, could be some cold, but it's not going to be snowing and whatnot. So Tua should be decently safe there. The Bills really dismantled my Seahawks this week, but it really felt like a lot of that was unforced errors on our end, because I remember, like, for example, in the first, what, two out of the first four or five drives, we had one of them that we were inside of the 10. There was a botched snap that went over Geno Smith's head. That ball went, like, back to the 40 or the 30 or something like that. Kenneth Walker picked it up, managed to get a few yards. But that was that. Basically, that just ruined the rest of the drive. We had to settle for a field goal. And then we had another drive in which we were inside of the 2 or 3 yard line. Geno Smith took the snap, was about to end it over. He tripped, which led to the play being botched. And we got no points out of that. So, like, in situations in which we could have gotten, like, 2 touchdowns, we got out of that with, like, 1 field goal, which really puts the dent on any of the momentum that we could have gotten. So I really don't think it was as much of Buffalo as it was Seattle. Now, the defense was still playing soft and whatnot, so that's definitely an issue. But I kind of agree with you. I think I'm going to go with Miami plus 6.5. This feels like a lot of points, and the offense was finally clicking back up, and it was the first game back for Tua. I know they did not win that game,
But divisional game, 6.5 points just feels way too much. So give me the Miami Dolphins plus 6.5. Okay. Next up, it's the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. The Saints are 6.5 point favorites. I don't know who's QBing for them right now. It could be Derek Carr. It has not been confirmed yet because it is a Monday, so we're not getting any sort of confirmation on the Monday. I don't think it will be Spencer Rattler because it did get benched during the season, during the week for Jacob Henley or something like that. He jumped in and he played a bit better than Spencer Rattler was playing. Olave had a very good week. For the Carolina Panthers, I'm guessing it's probably Bryce Young again. Versus the Broncos, he really didn't play anything great. First drive, he actually looked like maybe there was something coming there because they got immediately a touchdown on the board. And then he sort of just disappeared. And they did nothing for the rest of the game until like a late touchdown in the last quarter of the game. Honestly, I don't think there's any team that I wouldn't lay like around a touchdown versus the Panthers. So I think the Panthers, like at this stage, anything below a 7.5, I probably won't think about it that all that much, regardless of the team. So give me the Saints minus 6.5.
Yep, I'm on the same page as you. I think Derek Carr is going to be back, and I think that I think this is going to be a blowout, honestly. All right. Raiders at Bengals. The Bengals are favored by 8.5 points. Oh. I just think that's too many points for the way we're playing. Give me the Raiders. Like, at this point, I'm not even sure I can say with confidence the Bengals are making the playoffs.
3-5. Hey, Burrow had some quick maths there. He said that, if not mistaken, so you guys are 3-5. There's 9 games remaining, if not mistaken. So that means you guys, he said basically like 10 wins probably get you in the playoffs. You need 7 wins. You need to go 7-2 the last 10 game, the last 9 games. I don't think that's like impossible, to be honest. What sort of schedule do you guys still have? Like, after this, you play the Ravens, which, tough game. The Chargers could be tough, but somewhat. I just feel like the Chargers team is... I've liked them better than what I'm liking them right now. I'll tell you that much. I feel like some of the instances are their offense. They aren't really clicking all that much, so... then, after that, you have the Cowboys, the Titans. You have two matchups versus the Steelers. I don't think it's impossible. I think it's hard, though. Because the defense, again, like it really felt like those 2 weeks versus bad opposition gave you a different taste of what that defense actually is. Because you play a team that has an actually decent to good offense. And defense just crumbled once again. You had a few bad breaks in there, like the interception that bounced off of one cornerback to another, or one safety to a cornerback, or something like that. That was a tough break. Like, you really can't do anything about that. Plus, you didn't have T. Higgins this week as well. That was a late injury that popped up. I still think that your guys are probably going to be fine. And I do not like this Raiders team whatsoever. Just give me the Bengals minus 8.5. I'll lay the points here. We'll see how this goes. I really can't trust this Raiders team. Like, I was on their side last week. I really was shaking there a bit because I remember the whole of the Kermit the Frog type of thing that they were making fun of Mahomes at the start of the season. They managed to back their cover that. I really don't see how that happens to here. I like the Bengals still. I feel like that Eagles game was a rough awakening for them. And I feel like until the end of the season, they're probably going to click on a lot of things.
I hope you're right. From what I've seen, you're wrong.
Hey, maybe I'm wrong. And maybe Zach Taylor really is the guy that should go soon enough. Because remember, before that Super Bowl run, they were getting sour on Zach Taylor, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that only buys you so much faith from the organization and whatnot. So, like, if this really goes sour...
From a normal organization, yes. From the Bengals organization, no. He probably still has another.
Oh, yeah, because Marvin Lewis had, like, a lot of goodwill from the organization. Like, those were years and years and years of goodwill. So, you're probably right on that. But if it's a season in which they miss the playoffs, I gotta believe he's going. Okay, next up. It's the Los Angeles Chargers at the reinvigorated Cleveland Browns. The Browns are 2.5-point underdogs. And I kind of like the Browns here. +2.5 with the offense that they displayed this past week. Like, Jameis comes in, throws for over 300 yards. Deshaun Watson was averaging around 175, if not mistaken, per game. So it's like, this is an offense that looks like they can finally move the ball. Cedric Tillman is being used quite a bit. David Njoku was getting used as well. Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore. Everyone was getting targets. Everyone was getting yards as well. So this feels like an offense that is finally moving the football. Plus, now they're getting Nick Chubb healthier and healthier and healthier. And this Chargers team doesn't really click for me. Like, they were struggling there for a bit to get points against the Saints team. Dad has had one fairly bad defense and like getting no production from the offense, and they were struggling to get anything done there. So give me the Browns +2.5.
So.
Decisions.
Give me the Chargers.
-2.5.
-2.5.
I don't know. I feel like the Browns probably win this game.
I have a feeling the Browns are about to start regressing to the mean. We'll see. But I just have a shaky feeling. Oh, look, another easy one. Is Jaden Daniels playing?
I mean, he played versus the Bears. No setback, so.
So, Commanders versus Giants. Commanders are favored by 3.5 points. The Giants are 1-2, throw it to Malik Nabber, so just give me the Commanders.
Yeah, I'm going to be right there with you. Commanders defense playing much better than what was anticipated and what they looked like at the start of the season. They have been getting some pressure to the QB, even though they do not have Jonathan Allen. They're getting pressured on the QB. The secondary is playing better. Feels like Dan Quinn is really... It's funny. It really looks like Dan Quinn is sort of emulating what he did with the Falcons. Like, he got this one good offensive mind taking care of the offense. He focused purely on defense. Defense is stepping up, playing better. Offense is clicking with the offensive mind that he put in place. To take care of that side of the ball like he did with Shanahan back in Atlanta. So it really feels like this has a lot of what Atlanta had back then. Now, it's a rookie QB. It's a different thing than what they had with Matt Ryan there. But the offense keeps moving the ball. Now, one thing that concerns me is that this was the second game versus the Bears in which they only scored field goals until, like, that Hail Mary touchdown. But, like, for most of the game, they only managed to muster field goals out of it. They got a lot of end zone trips, red zone trips, and only got 4 field goals out of it, which is sort of concerning. They are not finishing up on plays. But overall, like, this team is really playing well, and I still like them to win the division. So give me the -3.5, because I think they cover this number and some.
Okay, after that, now this is a line I really do not understand. The New England Patriots at the Tennessee Titans. The Titans are 3.5-point favorites. Like, they had Mason Rudolph out there. They lost by like 30-something points versus the Lions. And the Lions had like under 100 yards passing and scored like 52 points. Nothing is really clicking. The defense plays good still, but special teams is a mess. Offense is a mess with Mason Rudolph or Will Levis. It's all the same. It doesn't really matter. Just give me the New England Patriots plus 3.5.
Well. What to do? Is Drake May healthy?
Drake May.
Oh, they're favored. I'm not giving fucking Tennessee points. No, give me the Patriots. Oh my God. I thought it was plus 3.5, not minus 3.5. Holy shit.
The Patriots have plus 3.5. The Titans are favorite. I don't know how you give them 1 point, much less 3.5. Like, if it's Will Levis, he's throwing an interception right at the end of the game just for the Patriots to score points and screw up this bet. So, but we probably won't have Drake May, though. I'll tell you that much. Because he got concussed in that game, and what we've seen so far, it seems like concussion is a week off. So it's likely that he's out this week, and it's Jacoby Brissett. But it's still, it's whatever, really. To me, it's just, it's more of a bet against the Tennessee Titans.
I feel bad for the Titans, man. I don't think they deserve this.
Do you remember when that team was all hyped up because they got Calvin Ridley, and they got all of those pieces on defense? Hey, at least the defense is playing somewhat good, but versus what this offense musters, it's really hard to do anything.
Listen, man. I got nothing. They just play bad.
Week in, week out, it's just played shitty, man. Okay, you're up.
Bears versus Cardinals. See, I thought that this was weird because this is basically a pick 'em. The Cardinals are favored by 1.5 points. The Cardinals are just a weird team. They win games that I think they have no right of winning, and then they look like the team that I, because like their losses feel pathetic, but their wins feel like barely. So I think they're going to look pathetic again. So give me the Bears. I can't explain the Cardinals. I need a PhD to explain the fucking Cardinals season this year.
It really feels like that, right? Like, they play good at times. Like, they have quarters in which they're playing good. They have moments in which, like, defense is stepping up, making plays. The offense is stepping up, making plays. Heck, Marvin Harrison Jr., good week from him, finally. He went for over 100 yards. I believe it was 111, if not mistaken, at the end of the day. 111. He had 7 targets. They're finally, like, funneling the targets to 2 people, which is Trey McBride. He had 11. Marv, he had 7. Like, there's still way too many targets going around the rest, but it's still, like, overall, it's been good for them this week. But just... They still threw 6 targets to Michael Wilson. But it's still like, this is what we wanted to see, and not just like crazy targets to Greg Dortch and Zay Jones and Elijah Higgins and James Conner getting more targets than he should have. Trey Benson getting targets as well. Like, we want to see the 2 guys getting the ball the most, which is Marv and Trey. They did that. Trey has actually been... I mean, his season has been outstanding. He's tight end 3 overall. And if not mistaken, he has not had a single receiving touchdown. I believe he has 1 touchdown run of the season, which was a fumble recovery for a touchdown that he basically got in the end zone.
So outside of that, like, no touchdowns yet, and he's been having a great season so far. They clicked there, but I just like the Chicago Bears team. I like the resilience that they're showing at times. I like that the defense is still playing good. The Cardinals really do not get a lot of pressure on the opposing QB, and Caleb versus that tends to do better than what he did versus the Commanders, who were getting pressure on him quite a bit. So yeah, give me the Chicago Bears plus 1.5 as well. And the next game, Jesus Christ, the two teams that I do not like to pick. The Jacksonville Jags go at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 7.5 point underdogs. The Jags won't have Christian Kirk for the remaining of the season. He broke his collarbone, if not mistaken. 7.5 points. A team coming off of 2 weeks in London, no bye, goes to the Green Bay Packers. Has a rough week, but then managed to cover the line whatsoever. I'll be crazy, but I still don't think that the Philadelphia Eagles issues are all solved. But I cannot trust the Jets. Give me the Eagles minus 7.5. This is the one pick I hate. But I also feel like you're going with the Eagles, so I'm hedging my bets here.
You're hedging your bets here, and you're going with the stupid Jaguars?
No, I'm going with the Eagles. Eagles minus 7.5. Purely because I also feel like you're going with the Eagles, so if I lose, you lose.
Damn. Yeah, I am. I can't. This isn't London. The Jags aren't home, and it feels like they've only looked good like one or two times. So yeah, I'm going with the Eagles.
This is all I'm doing. It's just like
he's trying not to lose.
Yeah, on this pick, it is. It's just that. It's like I'm trying not to lose on this pick. I figured you were going with that one. So heck, if I lose, you lose. If you lose, I lose. So I'm not losing anything here.
All right. Detroit at Green Bay. Green Bay is home and favored by 1.5. So I don't think Green Bay has been playing that good. They're 6-2, and they have done pretty good. But what I've seen from Detroit has been more impressive. I think they've had more like start to finish games after like the first few weeks of the season was where I just got more faith in them in this game. Who you got?
Can I tell you something that I think you're not thinking into the equation here? That is probably going to make you pick one side very fairly easy.
What's that?
Jordan Love is probably not playing.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah, then I'm sticking with Detroit.
Yeah. Jordan Love hurt his groin in that game. I believe it was like in the third quarter. They played the rest of the game with Malik Willis. It looks like his status is currently in doubt for week 9 because on week 10 they have the bye. So it looks like they're sitting at 6-2. The division is tough, sure.
They can lose the game though and still make the wild card.
Yeah, it feels like a situation in which they are doing that. Yeah. Plus, like, with Malik Willis, the offense still ran okay in the games that they had to start him, and even last week versus the Jags. So, I just feel like they're going with Malik Willis. But it hasn't been rolled out yet, because it's a Monday again. But still, it just feels like it's going to be Malik Willis. And with Malik Willis, give me the Lions, plus 1.5.
Sure.
Okay. Next up, the Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are 1.5 point favorites. Bad game from us in general. Mm-hmm. We were playing at Seattle. The team was getting booed at a point. So that tells you how great this season is going after starting 3-0. The Rams look a bit better. They beat the Minnesota Vikings. The offense was back clicking. Mm-hmm. The pieces were hammering.
Mm-hmm.
And we always really struggle with the Rams, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like I need to pick the Rams here. Give me the Seahawks. I just feel like that game versus Buffalo, if those two plays go in our favor, and instead of coming out of those two plays with 3 points, we come out of those with 14, that is a much closer game. We do not feel as bad as the Seahawks. I feel like this is a spots league that's just like we were in a bad spot because we missed those two plays, those two key plays, and that's what screwed us in the end. Give me the Seahawks -1.5 because I do not feel we're as bad. I don't think we're as good as we were versus the Atlanta Falcons, but I do not think we're as bad as what happened versus the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Rams have a better week to prepare. They have an extra few days to prepare since they played on Thursday Night Football. But I have to go with the Seahawks, man. This could be just a homer pick, so pick against me in this one, maybe, because the line doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I would expect us to be underdogs, but no. I mean, we're laying 1.5 points. I'm just trusting that there's an in-between of what we did versus the Atlanta Falcons and what we did versus the Buffalo Bills.
Give me the fucking Rams. Matthew Stafford's out there, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are back, and they're an extra week removed away from coming back from the injury. Just give me the Rams. I'm not overthinking this. I think this is a layup.
This really feels like a layup. But like, if it is a layup, we're going back to the Texans game. If it is a layup, like, how is Vegas setting up this line? Again, if exactly. I was being consistent, if I was being consistent, I would be on the Rams side because I was on the Texans side, right? But hey, I'm a fan, right?
Alex, I don't even pick the Bengals because I want to avoid being too much of a homer. I haven't picked the Bengals in like 3 or 4 weeks. It's not happening. It doesn't happen. All right. Oh, this is easy. Wait, one question. All right, Colts at Vikings. Vikings favored by 6.5 points. Is Anthony Richardson playing, Alex?
Yes.
Okay, give me the Vikings. Easy peasy.
I have to call out my guy on this one.
Go ahead. Uh-huh. Let's hear it.
I'm not sure if you saw it, but there was a moment in time in that game in which I believe they are trailing. And it's like Anthony Richardson goes for a play. He rushes, gets some yardage, gets hit in like the lower section, taps the helmet, giving the indication to the sideline that he wants to come out. Flacco comes in for like two plays or something. Richardson is back. And it's like we're kind of wondering what happened there. They eventually, I believe, they scored a touchdown in that drive with Richardson back. He makes a touchdown pass to Josh Downs that gets called back. And after that, I believe, like they get some sort of penalty that puts them close to the end zone, and they get a run in or some sort. That's sort of the sequence that happened. But that was kind of weird. Like he comes out for two plays, and then he comes out and he says that he asked out because he needed the breather. Which is like,
dude, he needed a breather in a close game.
In a close game, he needed a breather because there was a lot of running in that game. I don't know, man. That just rubbed me the wrong way. That's just
new mobile quarterback storyline unlocked. You need to sub out your quarterback because they're running too much. We're going to have load management for mobile quarterbacks next. Lamar Jackson will only play so many snaps a game. Let's go.
That just screams that you're not a competitor to me. That's just rubbed me the wrong way, man. Like, Travis Hunter was out there playing for Colorado, and he played 118 snaps across defense and offense. And it's like, you run a few times in a drive, and it's like, yo, you need to come out. I don't know, man. That just rubbed me the wrong way.
That's your guy.
That is not
the guy you like better than Justin Fields. Then Lamar Jackson, that's your guy. Then Jaden Daniels.
No, Jaden Daniels. I like Daniels more than I like Richardson.
Oh no! Now you've put your son up for adoption. Okay, I see it. Okay.
I like Daniels. I always like Daniels. So.
All right, you got Monday Night Football then.
But I haven't picked Sunday Night Football.
Oh, you haven't? I thought you picked your son. My bad.
No, not yet. But I am going to pick the Colts. I just feel like this Colts team, like these big numbers, they tend to cover. Like despite what they like, he didn't play good again. He had to come out for a breather. They still managed to cover the line versus the Texans. And like, I don't know. This just feels like the sort of team that the defense is playing a bit better. And the offense can move the ball still, despite of what Richardson is doing at times, because Jonathan Taylor is back, and like they're getting those chunk plays at times. Like he got one to Josh Downs, if not mistaken, that just flips the field. Like he's still good for that. So just give me the 6.5. I feel like, yeah, but it's like some teams really can't get those sort of plays off. Like there's teams that can. There's QBs that can't. Like, for example, Deshaun Watson couldn't get those sort of plays out that just flip the field from one side to another. And Richardson can at times. So, yeah. And he had, like, one other play to Adonai Mitchell, for example, that Mitchell just dropped the ball in the end zone. Like, the pass needed some sort of adjustment from the wide receiver, but he still dropped it. Like, that's still a catch that you have to make at the NFL level. So, at the end of the day, I feel like this Colts team is not 6.5 points worse than the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, they're just worse.
They're just worse, that's for sure. But it's like 6.5 points. And I have a feeling that by the time this closes, it's probably around 7, 7.5. So if that's what happens, like I'll have over a touchdown here as a safety net. So
we'll see.
Okay, Monday Night Football. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers go at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 9.5 point favorites. Again, I think I've only bet the Chiefs at like around the touchdown. I don't think I've bet the Chiefs when they were like nearly 10 point favorites. They just don't seem to cover those numbers. It's as simple as that. They come off of an emotional win versus the Raiders. It's like the team that they least like in the entirety of the league. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers still showed some fight versus the Atlanta Falcons. Some of the wide receivers played a bit better. Jalen McMillan stepped up to it. Trey Palmer also stepped up to it. Kate Otten played well as well. I still think like this team has some fight in them. So 9.5 points. I feel like I can get a backdoor cover here. Just give me the Tampa Bay plus 9.5.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think 9.5 is just too many points. I know. I don't know. That's not even really a good argument. I was going to say one of the criticisms for Baker Mayfield this year is he's put up points. He's put up yards, but he's turned the ball over too much. But Patrick Mahomes has been good for 1 or 2 this year, too. So I don't get the point spread. If you're telling me Patrick Mahomes is playing like clean and perfect football, then yeah, I get the 9.5 points. That's not the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is the Chiefs are relying on their defense and their run game to secure these wins, and that's not a 9.5 point difference to me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's just way too much. Like 9.5, it's crazy to me. There's that like it's not a team that has just rolls over their belly and just pretends to die. It's a team that actually fights when they're down. Like Baker is that sort of dude that he will just go to town. Like for example versus the Ravens, like that's the perfect game. Like they were down for quite a bit, but they never gave up. They were always in that run. They got the game closer by the end. I still think they lost by around this margin, but it's like again, the Chiefs seems to pick and choose when the games matter. I feel like the Raiders game mattered to them because of the whole of all of the towns that the Raiders did during the offseason with Kermit the Frog, in training camp and whatnot. This felt like a game that mattered to them, division rival and whatnot. Like versus the Buccaneers, I don't see the thing. I feel like this is a game they win by like 3 to 5 points tops, and that's that. So give me too big of a line here. This is one of my favorite bets of the week.
Okay.
We missed the minerals last week on the show. I got them from you afterwards. So before we forget, we need to do that. But for the minerals this week, let me make the calculations here really quick. So you went 3-0 on the minerals. You even did good on the minerals here as well. So you did 3-0, so that puts you at 3-4 for the bronze, 3-5 for the silver. Oh, I'm missing one here. Missing one, which you got Tampa Bay +3.5. So you lost that one. I got Baltimore -3.5. I won that one. This is from week 7 still. So that puts you at the bronze one. You lost, so you went 2-5. The silver one, I won, so I went to 4-3. And after this week, so you go to 3-5 on the bronze, 3-5 on the silver, and 4-4 on the gold. So you're 500 on the gold. Meanwhile, I lost my gold, I lost my silver, and I won my bronze. So that puts me at 4-4 on bronze, 4-4 on silver, and 3-5 on gold. So what minerals are you going with this week?
Easy gold is the Thursday night game. yeah, that's just...
as it happened last week.
Silver is going to be the Rams. And bronze is going to be the Lions.
Okay, so recap that for me. Detroit Lions, bronze, it's +1.5.
Yep.
The silver, you went with what?
The Rams +1.5.
The Rams +1.5. And the gold, you went with the Jets -1.5. So with the bronze pick, basically, I'm all going... the pick-ems. Yeah, basically.
Give me my pick-ems!
Yep, pick-ems. Okay, so for the bronze, give me Chicago +1.5. That's one that I really like. For the silver, I like Tampa Bay, but I could see myself leaving them out purely because it's a primetime game. And there's like two more picks that I like. Yeah, give me, for the silver, give me Cleveland +2.5. And for the gold, give me Washington -3.5. So Tampa Bay is staying on the outside looking in.
Okay.
Just afraid of Tampa Bay, man.
It's the primetime slot. Like, it's the primetime slot. Like, those games can go sour in a minute. So,
okay. So that's all for the bets. This one will come out on Thursday, right?
Tuesday.
Wait, this one is on Tuesday?
This one's on Tuesday, yeah.
Okay. I thought it was the other way around. I thought the picks were on Thursday. Okay, so show comes out on Tuesday. The other one will come out on Thursday.
I mean, honestly, with the way that we've done this week, with us recording both of it today, we probably could do that if you wanted.
Yeah, I feel like the picks are more up to date if we release them on Tuesday. So, on Thursday. No, wait. Yeah. I feel like the discussion should probably come before the picks, but the picks on Tuesday probably do a bit better because they're more up to date.
Yeah.
So when is it coming out? You make the call. You're the producer.
Damn right I am. You know what? Let's do it Thursday and let's have the discussion on the week be Tuesday.
Okay. So show comes out on Thursday for the picks. On Tuesday,
yep.
You will be a... You've already listened to it. But if you haven't, go check it out. On Tuesday, the discussion came out regarding the games. So, hope you enjoyed it.
Hope you enjoy Thursday night football because you will be watching that like around 12 hours from when this comes out. So hope you enjoy Thursday night football. Hope you have a blast this week. Best of luck in your fantasy leagues and whatnot. So hope all of that goes great. Thank you again for sticking up for us with like what this was an hour and change, hour and 20, hour and 15. So yeah, thank you for this hour and change that you gave us. Please, one more thing that I'm going to ask you. If you're listening on the Spotify app, if you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, wherever you listen to your podcast, really, just make sure to leave us a five-star review, a comment, subscribe to the show, of course, and turn on the downloads. That really helps out the show as well. It's free, as I always say, so helps out the show, and it doesn't cost you anything. Also, if you're listening on the YouTubes and whatnot, you just make sure to go there, subscribe, do all of those good things that you tend to do. And yeah, talk to you guys next week.
See you guys next week.